Good to be back.
Oh, I bet it's good to be back. He's in Florida.
So, why don't we, Peggy, if you can grab that door.
Sure.
Chairman's supposed to have coffee and donuts.
We had a tight budget.
Next time.
Got to come out of his pocket. It's tighter than Summer's budget.
It's tight.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. So let's call a meeting to order. Any citizens' comments? Going once, going twice? None? Approval of the minutes from our last meeting. If we could add, Peggy, next time, if we can add the meeting date of the minutes.
Sure.
To the agenda, then we can. I think it was sometime in April that we met last. April or May. Okay, so. Motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So approved. So my work here is done now.
Pretty much.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to turn it over to you, Al.
Okay. Well, I'm going to kind of lump 4, 5, 6, and 8 together. I'll try to make it separate as much as I can for Peggy, because she told me if I didn't do that, I'd be in real trouble. So I'll start off with the State Land Council of the Department of Administration. The State Land Council was something that was thought to be set up or should be set up by the Wisconsin Counties Association. They wanted to do it, and they wanted to advise the Department of Administration on different kinds of incentives that could be used for the $7 million that they received from the Registered Deeds Recording Funds. Yeah, $7 million is what they're getting, yes. the funds are going towards the Wisconsin Land Information Program. It's in a special account, and it's just for land records modernization. And right now, those funds are being distributed to counties that record documents less than $100,000, which is not Kenosha. It also goes towards education grants of $1,000 that each county receives, and also a grant initiative of $50,000, which is going to be starting in 2016. And there's also related to funding for state projects. And that is not right now is not a great initiative, so they're not taking a lot of money for state projects, but they have taken some in the past. The Land Council is a 12-member board, and it has on it a lot of the utilities. It has governmental, private agencies, federal, state agencies as well. And their duty is to advise the Department of Administration on land records initiatives and timelines that are supposed to be met for future grants. And the 12-member group, the chair of that group is Don Dittmar, which I know you know very well. He's the LIO for Waukesha County. He's the chairman, and I'm on the committee as well, representing the Real Property Listers Association. First meeting met October 28th, and it more or less was get together, who are you, set the bylaws and the charter. Now, you know, I'm going into this thing and I'm kind of explaining it a little bit because the State Land Council is going to be an important factor in the future because they're going to set different state initiatives that $50,000 grant money is going to be able to be used for. So that council, although it's advisory, is going to be able to talk to the Department of Administration and say these are some of the functions that we feel should be addressed as far as doing something in the counties for land records modernization. So that's why I wanted to bring this up and kind of say it's a little bit important and that it should be something that is monitored in the future. And I'm glad I'm on the committee, let's put it that way. We have something that we can look at the state entirely, but as there was a senator one time said, we want a little bit for Kenosha as well. So we want to make sure that gets in there.
So you're one of the 12 of 72.
I'm one of the 12, right, out of a...
Congratulations.
The entire, yeah. And we're talking about utilities, we're talking about a huge group of individuals. So, yeah, and they were state required. From there, I'm going to go to the, if you don't have any questions on that, or you won't have any questions, just let me know. If not...
How often are you going to meet as a group?
We're going to meet quarterly. And that's something that has been set in the bylaws, but I think we'll meet a lot more this first year to kind of set up parameters as far as maybe what benchmarks we start looking at, what ones need to be taken care of right now, and kind of setting up, you know, future goals. Because we have 2016 is when the grant money start. There'll be grant monies in 2017. And then after that, you know, there's some questions about how these grant monies are going to be distributed, if it's going to be more, if it's going to be less. It's going to be based on how much they get in recording fees, but, you know, averaging somewhere around $7 million a year, the state is actually looking for a way to lower that money and give it back to the counties, which is unusual, I think. But
give it back to all the counties or just the counties?
All the counties get $50,000. Plus, they also get that match to bring up to $100,000. So you could have a county that only has $50,000 in recordings. They'll get a grant for $50,000 to bring up to the $100,000, and then they'll get an extra $50,000 to use for modernization
purposes. So all counties get $50,000, and then counties that are under 100 get $50,000 to bring them up to 100.
Or whatever amount they need to do in order to bring them up to $100,000.
Whatever, right, okay.
That is a little bit misleading too. You have something like Menominee County, which is not a huge county and doesn't have a lot of modernization programs. Well, they don't bring in a lot of fees. They're getting a lot of money sent their way to try to do land modernization projects.
Right. The thing is, there's a lot of small counties that are very rural. I mean, they need land records modernization, but they don't have the density that we have.
Right.
So we need the money too, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, I appreciate their $100,000 benchmark.
Right.
It almost seems like it should be, I don't know, looked at on a county basis rather than just, oh, you don't have 100, we're going to be sure you have at least 100.
I think you should, that's a very good point. And I think it should be looked at a county basis because, you know, the southeastern districts are going to have more needs for the modernization monies than larger or smaller counties would.
Right.
And maybe, I don't know, that's something that the...
Comment, I didn't mean to...
No, that is something that I think should be looked at by the Land Council and also by the Department of Administration. You know, everybody wants to bring everybody up to a certain level, the same level. I'm sorry, but, you know, Wisconsin's not on the same playing field. You have areas where there's a lot of businesses, there's a lot of, you know, transportation things going on, and then you have Forest County, which is great for recreational purposes, but... Does it have needs for all of these monies going to them for certain aspects that they're not going to face? So that's one of the things that, you know, I'm looking at too.
Well, it's going to take the rest of the state years to catch up.
Yes.
Yeah,
to southeastern Wisconsin, because many of the counties haven't even started a monumentation program.
Exactly right.
And that's a costly part of the work if they're... Mm-hmm. If there's intent to bring the whole state up to the same standard where you would have all your public land survey corners monumented and have state plan coordinates on the corners, that'll take a long time. Took us 50 years mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, the fear is that the Southeast District will be so far ahead of everybody else that nobody else will be able to catch up to us. Well, you know...
Well, you'll be there to watch it with Dittmar, and
yeah.
Just be sure there's,
so.
I'm serious that there's flexibility
yes.
in what you can use the money for,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to be important.
Definitely, you hit it. From there, I just want to move next to the statewide parcel mapping initiative. That was something that was set back in 2013 through state law. And it required the Department of Administration to create a statewide parcel map. They wanted to create a statewide parcel map to use, like, in emergency purposes is one thing, if there was a tornado or something that crossed different areas and needed some kind of, I know, don't laugh, I agree with you.
Oh, no, okay. The original, this all came out of the DNR.
It came out of DNR, or the report.
Because the DNR makes grants to manage private woodlands and wetlands, and you're supposed to be able to hunt on them. And then some hunters said, well, where are these parcels? And the DNR couldn't answer. I'm just saying that's where the initiative came from. And they said, well, we better, something that
that was something that
you should do, not a, to me it makes sense that they use the county parcel maps, I hope.
I think that was out of the deer report by some gentleman down in down in Texas that came up here to see where the deer populations were. That's kind of was the start of it, but it kind of blossomed from that point forward, I think. But you were absolutely right. So that's why they wanted to create a statewide, they being the Department of Administration, through the State Cartographer's Office, developed this map that would show the deer populations, but then they also wanted to have it for emergency services. They acquired information from all the counties, parcel information, other land record information, ownership information, and things like that. And all the counties did submit information to the Department of Administration, basically because it was required by law. And they have developed a map. The usefulness of it, I'm not sure. I don't know how many hits they get off this thing and who is actually using it. I think the minute that the information went to the state, it became obsolete. There are so many changes that happen within counties as far as names, as far as splits and things like that, that the map is a good reference, but I don't think it's a good guide. The county still has the most accurate information available.
Did you not have an intent to update it periodically?
Periodically, they haven't set that kind of date. I think they want to do it on a quarterly basis. In fact, of all things, I got an email from the Department of Administration today asking for updated information. It's mostly assessment information so that they can apply it to these maps. And the other thing in Act 20 that came around was that they wanted to provide counties with more funding. And that's where the $50,000 actually came in, was through this act. What else do I have here? And through this act, they also, if you can take a look at this blue sheet here, they had different kind of benchmarks that they wanted to set to make sure that these different aspects were met in order to, with a $50,000 grant and also with the retained fees. And these were kind of requirements from the Department of Administration to meet in order to utilize those funding, that funding, and that funding going forward. Now, Kenosha has always been way ahead of the curve. I mean, we're hugely ahead of the curve. Benchmark 1, Benchmark 2, and Benchmark 3 have already been met by Kenosha. The only one which is a little bit, that we have not met, I'll hit that, is Benchmark 4. And the only aspect of Benchmark 4 that we really haven't hit has to do with modern datum. There is a call for a public land survey system based on modern datum. And actually what that modern datum means, I'm Mr. Bauer here is probably going to, he can chime in whenever he wants to on this. It refers to the section corners that are found in the county. And those section corners are the basis for all land descriptions, as far as surveys, as far as deeds, anything else that occurs with land records is based off of those monuments. So they are extremely important. The types of what they're looking for as far as the modernization process, they being the Department of Administration again, is to try to have something at the accuracy off of GPS coordinates. That's positioning, something geospatial positioning.
Let me say something.
Go right ahead.
This issue, first of all, the location of the public land survey corners depends entirely upon the monuments that are in the ground. Okay. 50 years ago, the Regional Planning Commission proposed that in addition to monumenting those corners, that you obtain state plane coordinates on the corners. State plane coordinates is another way of saying latitude and longitude, position on the surface of the earth of the corners themselves. And that would create a, what in the surveyors would call a control survey network. Now, all this fuss about datums, a datum is simply a system that facilitates the making of survey computations, okay? And historically, the federal government provided the horizontal and vertical, there are two kinds of datums. One is for horizontal position, one is for vertical. The federal government originally provided the horizontal datum 1927, and the vertical datum was 1929. And all of your coordinates in Kenosha County and in southeastern Wisconsin at the present time are computed and referred to those two datums. In 1973, the federal government, responding to really pressure from the military and to a lesser extent the commercial airlines and the auto manufacturers, developed new datums. And the horizontal datum is 1983, North American datum of 1983. Mm-hmm. And the vertical datum is 1988. And the question that is plaguing Mr. Brockmeyer is, should you convert from the legacy datums that you have to the new datums? And if you convert, how are you to do that? There's no direct mathematical relationship between the datums, okay? So whatever has to be done, there has to be done by modeling, mathematical modeling. Now, the Regional Planning Commission issued two reports that specifically address those issues, Memorandum Report Number 206 and then an addendum to it. I'm sorry,
keep going, you're doing fine.
The commission has also prepared a presentation, about a 20-minute presentation, so if the council wanted that presentation, you could just ask for it, and the commission would come down and make the presentation using PowerPoint.
Is it worthwhile?
Which the military prohibits the use of now. But the point is that there are two ways to make the two conversions. Remember, horizontal and vertical. You've got to convert both. And one way was in the original 206, which provided a high level of accuracy in the conversion, but was very, very expensive. I don't remember the cost, but the land information officers in the region then came to the commission and said, hey, you're talking about over $1 million for the conversion, and isn't there a better way to do it? So the commission developed a modified way of making the conversion, which will provide the same level of accuracy that you have in your system now, and will do it at about a tenth of the cost that was originally estimated. And Mr. Brockmeyer's given you a table here that has those costs.
Yes, if you take a look at the table here that states agenda issues for discussion, we're actually going to be going to Waukesha County to discuss this with Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning and also the seven counties themselves. And if all the counties are on board with this modified plan that uses the state plane coordinates that are already in place, then Kenosha would be paying for both vertical and horizontal somewhere around $72,000. But that's if all counties are on board with this. Yeah. And that's sometimes a very difficult thing to do, to have all seven counties be on
board.
Yeah,
because Washington County wants to, they're monitoring to go ahead with the more expensive procedure. The question that I would have, of course, is what are you going to do with the new, the coordinates on the new datum, the 83 and the 88 elevations, 83 coordinates, what are you going to do with them when you got them? Besides give them to the state, if they want them.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do with them? They will not plot on your maps or fit into your database. So the question is, all the land information officers in this seven county area are going to have to ask themselves, what do we do with the new coordinates? Do we convert our entire land information system to the new data? Which
it is a question
would be very costly. You can, there are software programs to quickly convert data, attribute data that you have to the 83 datum if you want. So, but the land information people are going to have to wrestle with this problem. And it's not trivial. And my personal opinion is that the council here should have a recommendation, should look into it at some depth, should have a recommendation, because I think the county board and the county executive deserve to know what's happening with this issue, you know, because it's not a trivial amount of money, nor it has implications for your system that you now have.
Is this something that would be done in 2017, or?
It would be a two-step process. 2016, you'd be able to use the $50,000 for applying it to, say, the vertical datum, which has $31,000.
Okay.
You'd be able to carry over that amount to 2017, and then you'd be able to take the remaining, whatever is left over, you know, for the $72,000. And so, and you'd be able to apply it to that one. That project at that point too, so you'd have like $30,000 left over after 2 years.
So this is money we would be getting back that we've sent to the state that they'd be sending back to us.
Exactly right. That's the.
So we'd be getting money back to do this from the state.
Actually, right. Yes, correct.
So is there any other use we would have for that?
You may have other uses to it, but I think the reason that we're gearing it towards state plane coordinates is the requirement that's in benchmark four. And that's
so it's something that we're going to have to do anyway.
Eventually, in order to get to a modernized datum. And
so that's the first part, but then as Dr. Brower is saying, then what
not
we
so
do
fast,
with
guys. This is complex, and you want to look at
right.
it because the federal government is talking about issuing another new datum.
In 2020.
So from the federal level, which where they're responding to the military and to the scientific community, you're going to have these constant new datums coming out. And even the 83 datum has what they call epochs, 83-91, 83-97, 83-2011, each of which is different in terms, if you had your monument and you had the coordinate numbers would be different under each of those datums.
Right.
So in Britain, the Brits are usually smarter apparently than we are when it comes to surveying, because they responded to their military by saying, okay, we'll create a global datum with a global ellipsoid so you can target Moscow or
right.
Peking.
Right.
That's what they want. but we'll keep our old datum in place for the civilian uses. Because the old item is perfectly adequate. I mean, you've used it now for here for probably 20, 25 years, and the coordinate positions check any field surveys for land surveys or engineering surveys right on. And those old positions were used to build the big tunnel system in Milwaukee, where you were drilling these huge tunnels for stormwater storage, sanitary sewer storage. Yeah. Okay. But it's something that Mr. Brockmeyer's got to lose sleep over. I hope he's losing sleep over it, because
there's two aspects to this that I want to bring up as well. And for the conversion aspect, to go to 83, and like you're right, then you're going to 2020, but it's like going to two releases as far as IT is concerned. If you make the most recent one, the 83-88 datum, then conversion to that, to the next datum, is a little bit easier to do. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of misinformation. That's why I say you may want to look into it. The reason I say no, all of these so-called datums, which tells you the system that facilitates making survey computations, developing coordinate positions on the surface of the Earth, are related to an ellipsoid.
Right.
Okay. The surface, the gravity is a very irregular surface. It undulates with the density of the bedrock and presence of high and low areas. So you can't do surveys on what you picture the Earth as mean sea level. If sea level extended throughout 100 continents, okay? You can't do any survey calculations because it's an irregular surface, bumpy surface. So you fit a globe, an ellipsoid, to that surface, okay? The datum that you're using now uses a spheroid that's called the Clark spheroid of 1866, okay?
Yeah.
Served well, it fit North America very, very well, okay? The 83 datum uses a new world geodetic datum that's global, that fits, doesn't fit North America as well as the old datum, but it fits the total globe better. The 2020 will have another new ellipsoid, okay? So again, there will be no mathematical formulas to go from one to the other to the other. You're gonna be facing programs like this to do it.
So one of the things I struggle with is if there's no real value for the county other than just achieving a benchmark, I think we need to be able to articulate why we should do it and explain it so, the county executive, the county board can understand that as well. Because I think if we walk in there and just say, we want to expend these funds, mm-hmm. but there's no value for us, if that's the first two sentences, we're dead.
If I can make another comment here, too. The 83-88 datum is used by the federal government and the state government and the Department of Transportation and almost all other counties within the state. It is a more modern datum. The actual differences in those coordinates that would be placed on each monument are almost insignificant. We're talking about possibly 2/10 of a foot.
That's to go from
that came from
27 to 83. You're talking about 60 feet in latitude and 30 feet in longitude.
The report that was sent to me, I'll show you. I'll bring it up and show the rest of the group too.
The people they've got in the DOE A, managing the program, have no understanding of surveying or mapping. And the guy that made the presentations that you hear, he couldn't define what a datum is, much less talk about it. And they went to the DOA, went to the County Surveyors Association to get a definition for what's a survey grade coordinate. It's that bad. It would have been better, in my opinion, if they'd have let the DOT manage the program instead of the DOA, because at least the DOA is staffed with competent engineers and surveyors.
And the DOT would have been better, uses...
But we're stuck with what you got. You know that.
Yeah, the DOT uses a Coors network.
Of course, you have this problem of the you raise is saying, well, yeah, the federal government's on that datum. And do we not have it? But again, you're left with, as I say, the problem that if once you get the 83, just the coordinates, they will not plot on. In other words, your whole land information system has to move if you're going to use those coordinates. Now, you could simply make them available.
That's exactly what you do.
And you can make mathematical by software, by simulation. Let's say that I make up an example here. Let's say that the State Highway Commission, or State Department of Transportation Associate, where I'm at, constructs a highway on new location, and that the location of the transit points on that highway location are in the 83 coordinates. Okay? And you now want to plot that new highway on your maps. Well, you would convert the 83 coordinates to the 27 and plot the highway on your map.
That's what we would do.
That's
now,
how you
right?
could do that. You could do that. Similarly, if anybody comes to a land information officer and says, I want land use information, let's say, for a given area, and you give it to them and say, by the way, this isn't 27 datum, and the user says, well, I don't want 27, I want 83, you can give them 83 by a software, commercial software conversion. We do it all the time at the commission. The commission does. So, not an easy problem. And I know it's a problem that will tend to turn the policymakers, county board people and the county executive, kind of turn them off because I say, what's all this? What are these technicians fussing about? You know, what's going on? It's a hard issue to deal with in terms of public policy. And you're going to have to, I think, look to Mr. Brockmeyer here because he's the land information officer, for kind of leadership. But on the other hand, I do think your council ought to know what you're doing.
Yes.
And I was just going to add that we ran into this problem a couple of years ago when we had the floodplain determined. And so we got some money to be able to have the floodplain studied through LIDAR, and with that, we were going to be working under what our normal datum was, but the federal government forced us to use the 83, if I'm correct.
88, now 88. You've switched from horizontal to vertical.
Okay, yeah, and so that was a problem that we ran into then, in the...
We fussed with the guy from Illinois. They had a surveyor from Illinois, as I recall, and I don't know how much of this you want to talk about, Mr. Chairman, but the differences in the horizontal position coordinates, I told you was 60 feet, 30 feet about, okay? the difference in the vertical positions is 0.2 of a foot. That much. Just enough to constantly make a problem. Because you constantly got to say, wait a minute, which datum are we on? Because they're the two, the 88 and the 29, differ by only that much. And of course, fact of the matter is, if you're doing a flood study for a particular parcel of land, most surveyors can't carry the elevations out to that parcel within that much. So, yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah, so
it's a problem.
So the data was done in 88, and they forced us to do it, but then we had to convert it back because they only gave it to us in 88.
And I think you hit one of the points too that is associated with this change, and that would be the transfer of data. It would be easier to make between the federal government, the state government, Department of Transportation. If you were in the 83, 88 datum, it would be a direct transfer rather than a transfer from 88, 83 datum to 27 datum. So that's one of the things that like you came across that would be probably hitting other sets of departments as well, is trying to do that conversion, that transfer of information.
Because it does happen, like for instance, Dan in our office, who uses a lot of data a lot of time, he has to always make sure he's working in the right one and applying the conversion, which I'm just saying can be difficult, that you remember to do that in your process. Otherwise, you could end up with, inaccurate information.
True.
So that's why it really has to be determined and settled.
So, what are the next steps on this, Al, as far as...
Right now, on Thursday this week, as I stated before, the seven counties and Southeast Wisconsin Regional are going to be getting together and looking at the conversion to 83-88 datum, what it would cost, what it would do, how it would be functional. It would still utilize the 27 datum that has been created. It would just kind of modify those points to bring it up to an 83-88. I'm simplifying it, sir, I know that, but to bring it up to an 83-88 datum so that conversions could be made a little bit easier. So we're going to be looking at that. The seven counties will be doing that in Waukesha on Thursday. And there's also a second aspect to it, as Mr. Bauer has said, and that is direct observation, where you go to each point, you put your GPS receiver in, global positioning station receiver in, get satellite information from that, and you go from point to point to point, and that would be the most accurate information that you could possibly get. That cost, I just went to R.A. Smith and just asked them about that, just generally, how much would it cost? They said between $100,000 and $150,000 for 1,200 points that we have in Kenosha.
Well, if you convert, the commission can do it.
Okay. I was just saying...
That's up to the county.
I just went to...
Again, there's misunderstanding about the use of the global positioning systems. The receivers, the global positioning antennas, actually receive latitude and longitude. And you can convert and read out coordinates in either 83 or 27. And it's not true that you can't use GPS with the 27 datum. You can. And we do all the time. But... yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe you've got enough of this for me.
Well, I think so, but I guess I think the agenda indicates that it has to be a consensus of the seven counties to do this.
No, the price that is associated with each county is all seven counties go together on it. If all seven counties don't go together on it, then the price could change from that $72,000 for both of them to a different amount.
Okay. So we can act independently
Yes.
If we...
For the horizontal positioning.
Okay.
The 83 datum. You could act independently to decide. Your first question is to the land information officers, do we want to convert? If the answer is yes, then the next question is, do you want to do it by the more accurate procedure in 206 or the addendum?
Modified one.
And there's an order of magnitude difference in those costs, okay? That's for the horizontal. Now for the vertical, if you're going to convert, again, you have the same question, should we convert? And if the answer is yes, in the case of the vertical, all seven counties should then decide to convert together. Why? Because whereas horizontally, you can work within an individual county with respect to elevations, you've got, for example, watershed boundaries and streams that cross the county boundaries, and you want to have consistency there between the counties when you okay. use them, if you convert to the new data.
It could still be done, though, you're saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I really have on that. Any okay. other
so,
questions?
About so that? I guess kind of what I'm looking for then is just a further discussion or update after you meet with the seven counties
okay.
and some ideas or thoughts on, as the land information officer, what the recommendation for Kenosha County would be
mm-hmm.
and why we should follow that recommendation.
Very good. Okay. Yes, you can
Makes
do
sense.
That. And thank you for your input, sir. Appreciate it. Now, where am I at here? excuse me for a second while I try to figure out. I think we went through most of the stuff as far as the NAD 2783-88 aspect of our agenda here. I think that's all I really have on that. We're looking at 4, 5, 6, and probably 8 as well as far as the use of those $50,000 grants and the benchmarks that they're associated with. From there, I just want to go to the aerial photo project, if I can, fairly quickly. The aerial photo project was done through a company out of New York called Pictometry. They did an excellent job with it. It met the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission standards. We had the aerials flown at 3-inch pixels, which means you can get down to a very close level. They've all been put on the internet, so if you pull up a map, an interactive mapping, you can actually see the new aerial photos that are on there. The photos were taken in March and in April. We did discover that those photos that were taken in March were at a point in time where there still was ice on some of the lakes out in the western portion of the county. We talked to Pictometry about that. We told them the issue, and they will refly those, and they're going to be reflying those next year. So we have an agreement that they will do it when there's no ice on those lakes whatsoever. The other thing that we received from Pictometry for the same cost as the orthophotography was oblique photography. And what that is differently is instead of shooting straight down and getting rooftops, you're shooting at an angle, so you'll be able to see more of the building itself. And you'll also be able to rotate that building, you know, 360 degrees. One of the problems, and we'll be talking with IT and other individuals about this as well, is that it is a high resolution, and it would be absolutely fantastic for planning aspects, for 911, for various other agencies in the county. Be great for realtors as well. You'd be able to take a look at something and do a 360 on it and show, you know, interactive mapping. The only problem with that is you have those individuals who take advantage of it for, you know, criminal problems. So they would look for the easiest access to a building. you have that kind of thing going with this resolution. So you have two different parameters there. This process exists in Milwaukee County right now. They have oblique photos at the 3-inch level. Bing Map has the oblique photos at 10-inch, and then they have Google Maps as well. So you can click on any of those, and you can pull up those features. So Milwaukee County does have the 3-inch. I don't know what kind of problems they have had in the crime aspect with it, but they've had very positive results from other agencies, realtors especially, and assessors basically as well, and of course planning. The thought may be just to give certain departments the 3-inch, and then maybe a different resolution to the public itself. But that's something that needs to be discussed. I know that I've talked to Marty about that, and we're going to be making a presentation to IT, and so they can see that, and I imagine that will go to the exec as well and his concerns with it. Right. So we'll discuss that in a little bit greater detail.
You know, I'd like to extend that the opportunity for everybody from the council to participate in that presentation and demonstration about these are the new tools that we have compared to the old tools, and just kind of go through it and talk about it, and then from a land information council make a recommendation about this is how we think it should be used and bring that forward. I am concerned, you know, personally I am concerned about providing a lot of information about everyone's residence within Kenosha County that people could use to their own advantage instead of to the greater good. Mm-hmm. I don't have any issues with planning or law enforcement or 911 having access to this information. It's just, you know, how wide do we make that information available, and just understanding what the potential ramifications would be. So I think there's licensing issues that go along with this.
There are
as
some
well.
Licensing issues so, as well.
You know,
within, so
we would have to understand what the costs are if we're going to make this more generally available than internally within the county or a select group of organizations. So if we could have the Land Informational Council extend an invitation, and whoever wants to attend can take a look at that and understand.
Very so good.
I think that'd be good.
All right. Go ahead, Andy.
Two things. Just one, I think one thing that we need to know is that there is a difference between the Google and the Bing, because those don't have the leaf off the trees.
True.
So that's one thing that makes the county, I guess, more advantageous. You can see more. So that's something that is different when a lot of people say, oh, well, people already have that. Well, they do, but not to the extent that this is. And it's more, it's at a higher degree of accuracy.
Right. If I look at Google Maps, if I do Street View, I only see the Street View, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the backyard or the residence.
Right, but from Bing you do.
From Bing you do.
You do. It would be very similar, just not, it's from 10-inch to 3-inch,
exactly.
And then they usually do it in the summer, and there's trees on, so you miss a lot of things. And then the other thing I guess I just was wondering is the question I have is when is this presentation going to be?
We haven't set it up yet.
Oh, and then is that discussion going to be as to if internal departments can use it? I mean, are we waiting for that to happen, or would we be able to start use of this in advance? I mean, is that where the whole decision would be made? Because I mean, I know the information that we have it. I guess we'd love to be able to start using it.
sure.
But I didn't know if that was a decision that this is going to do also internal and external.
What I need to also understand is the licensing aspect of this. How many licenses do we have?
50, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many, you know, is it by department? Is it by
it's
individual?
By department, yeah.
And kind of figure that out. You know, if you have an appetite and demand to start using it now, you know, you can certainly have a, you know, interim license until we come up with the final recommendation as far as how we're going to deploy this and how we're going to use it.
Yes, and that's why I'm not sure exactly the time frame on this decision. Is it like a couple months. Is it this year?
I would say this year.
Yeah. Oh, this year? Oh, because, I mean, we can wait for that.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was going to stretch and get us into part of next year.
No.
I mean, obviously, by next March, it'll be a year old already.
Right.
So.
No, we should be able to get it done this year.
Okay.
Just great. As you know, too, though, we received that information in August, I think, too. So.
Yeah.
So true. It's we'll get the process there, I think, more than anything else. We know that you guys need it. Definitely know it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Is there anything else about the aerial photos? Nothing? The last thing I have is a... I'll try to run through it quickly. Let's put it that way. The Department of Administration, it's going to be the update of Land Information Plan 2015. If you don't have it, we have some extra copies. We can kind of run through it, hopefully just real quickly on this. It is a requirement by the Department of Administration. It needs to be done every 3 years. And what it basically does is it is a means to describe the different types of projects that will be done by or are being anticipated being done by or are in the process of being done by Kenosha County. It's more or less a future view of what could be expected, what might be expected, and it might be used for state initiatives in the future as well. So it needs to be updated every 3 years. With the way technology works right now, you know, get out your crystal ball and figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. And if it happens, and you need to have that some money is associated with that, we can update the plan on a regular basis so that that type of technology can be covered. It needs to be covered in a plan like this so that the Department of Administration knows that funds are being utilized and they are going towards land record modernization programs. So that's the big deal with this. I'll be totally honest with you, the Department of Administration does not look at this. It's done by other counties. They look at it and more or less vet it. And then on a yearly basis, the Department of Administration asks the Land Information Officer to take and fill out a form and show where monies are being placed in order to do certain types of functions. So it is a report that needs to be done, but is not one that is looked at greatly at this point in time. So I don't know how else to say it. That's probably the best way that I can put it. It's a report that's not reviewed by the Department of Administration, and so it's more or less on a basis of we trust you. Just make sure that you show up.
Fox guarding the chicken coop.
Kind of theory.
That's what you've got there at the state.
Yeah, at the state level. But
and that's because the DOA doesn't have the expertise to really do their job that they should be doing.
I'm glad you said that.
So that's the truth. So what they've done is they've shuffled it off to the LOA guys, and they're reviewing their own. You got your buddy reviewing your report.
Yes.
You can't.
You're right. I'm not gonna.
Not a way to run a railroad, but that's okay. As I understand your play, I don't know. You want to talk about that or not?
You want to talk about the whole works here, or?
Well,
I just wanted
I was
to go through
just
it
raise an understanding when you're ready.
Oh, I go ahead. You can just
Right in there. The issue of the datum conversion is in here, and you have a project for it.
The projects though are not. Projects that are in place that need to be done.
I know, but I'm trying to understand.
Okay.
You have a project here for data, and you have time to decide how you're going to do it and when and all that.
Yes.
So there's, I'm just saying it's good.
Okay. Good.
As long as I understand it.
Okay, yes, that's exactly the way it is. I'll try to run through this extremely quickly, okay? I don't want to go through the whole shebang here because it's just, it's long. Pages 2 and 3 are basically an executive summary saying why you need this and what the parameters are of the plan. This is a Department of Administration template, too, so we have to fill it out the way they want to fill it out. And so it's not really... I think a subjective plan that we are able to put our own words into, we have to kind of figure and guide it into the way that the Department of Administration wants it. Page four, the WLIP and Land Information Plan requirement. I think the first three notes there, update the plan, meet with the land council, and report on activities are the three major focuses that we need to do in order to make sure that this plan gets through and that the Department of Administration is satisfied with the way that we're handling the funding. From there, page four and five, history of what has happened so far. I'm going to leave most of this to you guys to read if you want to at your leisure. Six happens to just show the council members so that you have your name out there in case anybody wants to find you. page 7 through 18 describe foundational elements. And those foundational elements are the basic components that Kenosha County employs to meet land records modernization practices. So we're talking about zoning, topography, address points, land use. Those are basic aspects that need to be in the repertoire of Kenosha County in order to do land record modernization functions. Underneath those foundational elements, you'll find subcategories. And those subcategories are basically things that are needed in order to accomplish the foundational elements. Confused? Got kind of a general hint of what this is all about here? Sure. So, okay. We're just kind of going through that fact. And that was 17 through 18. Or 7 through 18, excuse me. Page 19 through 20 just has some rudimentary graphs kind of showing who are the individuals who contribute to the land information program and the land information records and the consumers of that product. And then, again, on the page 20 is a very general workflow diagram saying, you know, this is how things are kind of put together. Now, don't take this as being, you know what, this is the most important, this is the most important, this is the most important. It's not that way. It's all of the elements are important. It just kind of shows a way to go through it to get to a final product to administer to the Department of Administration, tax billing, land information, zoning, the whole works like that. 21 is a little incomplete. I want to talk to IT a little bit more about this. We're putting in some information saying, you know, these are technical aspects of GIS that need to be looked at. It's a very important part, of course, to fill in, but it's just going to be a generalized view of what needs to be done in order to service land records modernization programs. It also has on the very bottom of page 21 the public access and website information. And this is the information that you can go to and pull out various types of data that Kenosha County has. It's one of the most important aspects that the Department of Administration is looking at. And as stated before, Kenosha County is light years ahead of everybody else in this aspect. In fact, Department of Administration is looking to get this information by, I think, 2018. So that shows you how far ahead we are in this game. Where do I go from here? Page 22, data sharing, that's self-explanatory. Page 23 are some of the completed projects that we've already done. To note there, probably the enhancement of 911 parcel addressing and the wireless efforts that are being made. Those are not completed projects, but projects in process, and they're very, you know, very good and very much towards land records modernization. Topographic mapping and digital wide elevation, LIDAR. Those are very important elements that have been completed. Payments for county properties on the website. another very important aspect for the public. And redaction of the Social Security number is also a very, very important part of the land records program that we've done, or I should say the Register of Deeds done. I say we as a body here. Okay. Right. 28 through 24 present projects that may be under consideration in the future. They don't suggest that they will be done. Just some ideas that are thrown out there as far as partial initiatives for land record modernization. It gives an idea to the Department of Administration about where Kenosha County is heading and what direction we're looking at. And I think things like this will be important for the Land Council to look at in order to make suggestions to the Department of Administration on what initiatives they should start to follow.
And these are not prioritized.
These are pie-in-the-sky things. This is things that, you know, could happen. They may not happen. There's no timeline set with them. This is just ideas that kind of flow out and say, this is where we might be looking in the future. And
if you get enough flexibility at the state level to be able to use whatever grants you got coming for these kind of projects.
And yeah, that's exactly what we do. But we look at the monumentation project as being a high priority, as you said before. If you don't have that to start with, you don't have good records. Yeah. That's kind of the way it looks at. And the last page, page 29, happens to be some of the benchmarks, I believe. Handles that benchmark that we talked to. 1 and 2 have been completed, 3 is going to be completed, and 4, you know, we'll be talking about that a little bit more, about the data conversion and the modernization of that data plan. What I'm kind of looking for here, I'd hope, is that we could have maybe a motion made on approval of this draft. The draft has to be submitted by the 31st of December, and that has to go to the Department of Administration, and it has to go through the Land Council in order to be approved. If it's not approved through Land Council, then it's no good whatsoever. So at least I'd like to have a motion to approve the draft. We will come up with a final version that is due May 1st. I can't remember for sure, May 1st or May 31st, the Department of Administration needs. We'll send out something to each member of the Land Council, having them review what we've done so far in this plan and say, yes, we agree with it. And that way we'll have a final sign-off saying the Land Council does agree with everything that's in here, so it has met our standards and we can move this forward, and this is the final plan, and the Department of Administration will be happy with what we have.
Okay. I'd be willing to do the motion subject to just allowing us to make, I have some changes that comment to Scott, and maybe everyone else when they have a better chance to go through it, but
I would say just comment on the draft, that you approved the draft right now, and the final version, of course, then will, you know, come and they'll have final approval on that.
So, I'd be willing to make a motion to approve the draft subject to changes.
And I second. Any discussion?
I think we all understand it's a draft. It's not the final.
Exactly right.
We'll be able to make changes and recommendations to you.
And I'd like to, just if I could add, please, to that this, just by passing it at this point in time, shows the Department of Administration that we have met as a group. We have discussed this plan initially. And that kind of gives them, you know, a feeling that, you know, we're not...
That we're doing something.
Yeah, we're doing something. We're not just pawning it off and saying we're not going to do anything at all. So that's why I'm asking for approval of this draft at this point.
So the motion is on the table and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 So moved. Subsequent versions of this, if you could track changes.
Yes.
If we could see what changes we've made to this draft, it would be easier to kind of go through it.
I will definitely do that.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Do you want comments like you or to Scott?
To both of us. Scott Schutze is the guy who put most of this together. In fact, he put 75-85% of this together. He did an excellent job with this. And I commend him for working on this so hard. Really good.
Very good.
That's all I have. I do have one more thing. I'm sorry. The land, or GCS and the new tax and land management system. Again, I'll make this extremely brief. Land information and the treasurer's office is going through a new process of showing assessment and tax data. We're moving to a new program. It's called GCS. Right now, we're in the testing stages, and data has been converted to the GCS program. I know Peggy has been a great help in this aspect and going through and checking to make sure the data is correct. We have found a lot of bumps, so you're going to find that with any kind of conversion whatsoever. But we're working through those things. GCS has been involved, and they're doing a good job working through it. And IT, I have to commend IT on what they're doing as well. So everybody is working together as a team, and we're getting through this. The live date for this is in March. When it does get displayed, I think we'll probably have the realtors come in and title people come in and take a look at it, because it's going to have a whole different kind of format you're going to be looking at. So
can I come too?
No, you're excluded from. But I think that would be really, really helpful for everybody to take a look at the new format and try to figure out where things are at. But it should be it's a good product. It'll help us in some respects. Some respects, we won't have as much latitude, but you expect that with any kind of new system that you have.
Now, my understanding was you're going to be running a dual system next year. You're talking about that you'll have a live date for accessing the information, but for the treasurer, you're going to run a dual system.
I believe that's true. I think that the treasurer needs a level of security, especially being in an elected position, and making sure that tax bills run smoothly. So she wants to make absolutely sure that things are running right. And if they aren't running right, then she wants to be able to go back to the original system and make sure that you know, she can fall back on that. That's my understanding. Although Mike's got a big eyebrow that pointed up at me, so.
Well, the way that I believe we're doing it is we're looking at, so we're running tax bills right now in New World.
Right.
And we will also run the tax bills in GCS in parallel. And we'll do a comparison of the two to make sure that everything's looking good for that. The first payment will be, the first installment is done by the municipalities. That will continue to happen as it has in the past.
Now, are you talking about the 2016 tax bills or the 2017 tax bills?
2016 tax bills.
Okay,
so for next year.
You are now running dual. You're going to do dual this year.
We will be, yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to be, nothing's going to be going into GCS system this year other than just testing type stuff.
Type of thing. Okay.
Yeah, but come March, once we get that first installment in from the municipalities, we'll load all that into New World, make sure all the payments are being applied properly, and then we're switching over to GCS to start going for that second installment that will happen in July. Pleasant Prairie is going to be a little unique because they still collect money for a second and third installment. So we're working with them to figure out exactly how that's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yeah, come March, we'll be the new system will be using
March 1st,
the stuff in
you're
there.
Talking about?
It's more of the middle of the month because okay. They want to get through settlement and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, my office would like to see this product and see how it works because the public does call us and we do use the system quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to, what we're thinking of doing is, at least for that property inquiry portal,
right.
Probably doing a, because the data that's in there right now is pretty up to date.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working through a lot of the, we're really validating a lot of the details right now. But from a high level, the stuff that we've imported in from 1994 is looking pretty good. And as we get closer to that go live period, we're thinking of having like two websites up and running. We'll still have the property inquiry as the main one, and then probably have some sort of advertisement or marketing of,
yeah.
Hey, here's what the new one's going to look like, so you can kind of look at the two of them and get an idea.
We really need that because we've been using the system that we're on now for over 20 years.
Right.
We've never looked at anything else. We know our way around it like the back of our hand.
Right. And
you need to be able to get comfortable and familiar with it before you just turn
right.
the switch.
And the new system will be different. We've been working pretty closely with GCS to make sure that the same information is going to be available in the new portal, but the functionality will be different. Going from one screen to another is going to look differently.
Okay.
So one of the decisions that we had to make was we've got the property inquiry that was internally developed and maintained by IT, and it's very complex. GCS offered a portal that would do many similar things, and so we worked with GCS to make sure that all the functionality that we have with our property inquiry was incorporated into the GCS release. So they're going through the process now of updating their application to fit and meet the functionality that the county is accustomed to and things.
So we're not going to lose looking to see who our legislator is. That function will be available still. Looking to see what the tax status is, if the taxes are current or delinquent. I mean,
right.
That's all in property inquiry.
Yes, yes.
Right.
You know, the building, if there's three bedrooms and
yep.
a gas furnace, I mean, we use that for issuing rental weatherization stickers.
Right.
You know, I mean, so there's a lot of information in that
yeah.
program that gets used pretty regularly.
And GCS has had to bring some of their stuff up to our level to meet some of those needs. Because it's like the building data. They did not have that.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually the only county
in the state that has
requiring it.
Yeah.
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 Again,
we made their model better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Be able to market. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Absolutely. So
exactly right.
Get a rebate for that.
I'm not sure when GCS will be done with the property portal that they're working on for us, but you know, we can certainly keep the council up to date as far as when we think that application will be launched and released and for testing and, you know, just browsing and taking a look at it and going through it. I don't know if it's going to be in January or
that's
around that time frame, but it's relatively close. It's on the horizon.
That's all I have.
Finally, sorry.
And I think we have one more item on the agenda of back scanning indexing.
We do. I can speak of that.
Okay.
Unless you want to.
Well, I'm just the only thing I want to say that I have information on is that the redaction project is completed, that all of our historical documents have been scanned and redacted, and whatever is available currently on the internet has been through the redaction process. We have a move forward redaction piece with it that's working very well. It's even though we don't accept documents with SSNs, you know, we only have human eyes, we might miss one. So all our current recordings get scanned through the program and we don't have any problems with it. So we're very happy to say that we've got redaction done. And you want to give us an update on where we're at with getting the
yeah.
scanning and indexing uploaded?
So all the books have been scanned. So
right.
so we have that. We're working on the enhanced index entries for not only the books but also updates for the microfiche that was done previously.
Right.
All the information is in place. We have that to get it imported into the system. We're working with Trimen right now to develop an import process that will properly update all that information. We're getting that in place in a test environment that will actually be our test environment, a permanent one.
We have the test environment, or is it still something we're working on?
It's half set up, so
okay.
it's not completely there yet. The environment itself is there, but we're finalizing exactly how we can test out some of the land link pieces,
mm-hmm.
you know, as the title company sends stuff in. So we're still working on getting that finalized, and then Trimen's still working on getting the actual import module installed on our test environment. So once they have that installed, we'll test it out with our data, make sure everything works before we put it into production. And we're estimating to have that done at the end of the month.
So, the end of this month?
Yep.
Okay.
And that's where that sits right now. But this will be nice having a test environment in place for future rollouts so that we can avoid, you know, potential
issues.
Bugs.
Yeah.
So we have, historically, we've had a couple of incidents where Trimen makes a change and we just put it right into
Oh, we always
production.
Put the red flag up when Trimen makes a change.
Yeah. So this is
just so you know, if Trimen's making a change, look for something to go wrong.
Yeah,
them doesn't always go wrong, but we always are on alert.
On alert.
Yeah,
or on alert.
So, this overall redaction project has been a multi-year endeavor.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. It's a huge project.
So it's
talking
be
about
very
millions
good by
of records.
Millions 2015 of to have it done and completed. So.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting a nice piece with the go-forward redaction is it does set us up for the capabilities of expanding
of the
that
OCR, right.
To the OCR, yes.
Which can, is something that's in our land record modernization plan that we want to look at in the future. The only thing I want to say about that, I guess, to you is since we've already bought the technology from Extranet, is that the company
that's doing Extract.
Yeah. They that's who Triman uses for their OCR. Mm-hmm. So I would think that that rate for OCR with Triman might be negotiable since we've already got that piece of software in place.
Sure. Well, we'd have to work it out and figure that out. But
Yeah,
I think it was just it's a licensing thing now to expand it up to that piece.
Right.
Very good. New business?
One item. All right, smiling at me because I wasn't done. Right now, we're just starting to develop a process for scanning and indexing surveys. We have some on file right now that go back, but we have many years that we haven't been able to do this function. We're working with IT, creating a new program that's going to be easier to use to bring this information up, look for it by indexing it differently. You can index it by a variety of means instead of a limited amount, and we intend to put this out on the web for free. So it'd be great for you guys, I think, especially if you have a property and you want to know if there's a survey on it or something like that. Boom, you can probably put in the address. You can't put in the name of the individual, probably the address, parcel number, or lot block, whatever there is, and you'll be able to bring that information up. So I really think that's a positive thing that's going to be happening probably in the future, and I think the date on that is January or February that it could be implemented and out there.
So just with that, then, is that where we will have to discuss or have a meeting because of the fact that we've been scanning those things already in for
exactly
years?
Right, yeah. You have foundation surveys that may not have been filed in our office. If we
right.
can bring that in and kind of have one collective database for all surveys that can be distributed, so we get information from you. I've talked to the city. The city is willing to let us obtain their information for surveys as well, so we'll have a complete basket. But we have like 18,000 surveys. I mean, we have a huge amount of surveys that need to be scanned and done. So we'll probably bring that information up slowly, but go day forward, and then we'll start working backwards as well.
But I mean, are you going to be sitting down to figure that out? Because I mean, I just want to make sure that we're putting in the correct metadata that you want to have.
I do think we need to have a conversation
we need
about
to set
that.
Set that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because every day that goes by, we could have potentially more scans in that we
right.
have to go back and correct.
Is that in Track It right now?
Laserfiche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All that stuff that we're scanning.
Okay. Well, that was one specifically that, but yeah.
Yeah,
the
right.
survey stuff. Okay.
We'll definitely notify the Realtors Association about this when we get that thing in place and start putting it out in production there.
And when you do that, like if there was a survey from 85 and then 77 and then 1954, they'll all show up on that parcel.
Yes, that's the plan, is to do that. And if there's a parcel that has one survey that may be on multiple, you know, parcels, that would show up as well. And that'd be great for the surveyor. That way the surveyor can go out there and say, okay, there's an old survey. These were the lots that were associated with it. Now we can maybe find points and pins in the old survey to make it more accurate. So it's going to help the surveyors, it's going to help the realtors, it's going to help the appraisers. It's going to help you guys. Be very, very powerful. Application.
Done.
Yeah, you got it.
All
right, that's all I have.
Any other items?
It's a nice parking lot that they created.
Isn't it nice?
Very nice. Did the survey part.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. You did an excellent job with the survey. Thank you very much, Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning. I want to make sure that you know.
No, it is.
For sure, that was
very
great.
Very nice lot. It's convenient.
What a huge improvement.
We like it.
Oh, yeah, finally. 20 okay. some years getting rid of that employment building.
Yeah. Yep.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
On favor?
Thank you bunch for your time.
Very
appreciate
good.
It.
Very good.
Are they doing assignments for parking like we used to have?
Okay, well done.
Is that been done?
Again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all your comments.
Well,
I do. No, I do. Right? I mean, it's an important step.
There's going to be a, it's going to be, and it's really going to.